Hey there, hi there, ho there, everybody. How are you? Welcome back to another episode of the Kindness Warriors podcast. This episode is a special edition of the Creative Commons series of conversations that I am so excited to bring to you in 2024. We are going to be talking to some of the most creative, innovative, and inspirational people on the planet. I cannot wait to share these conversations with you. So let's crack into it. Kindness Warriors, let's go.
I want to get married in Vegas to a stranger on the strip, skinny dip in the ocean. Look, I don't give a rip.
Hey there, hi there, ho there, everybody. I am, as always, wildly, wildly excited to bring you another episode of Kindness Warriors Creative Commons. This week with one of my favorite Midwestern Londoners, Regan Warner. I met Regan in Las Vegas last year, and from the moment I laid eyes on her, it was one of those moments of energetic happiness. I knew that I wanted to know this person better. She shines a light of intelligence, creativity, kindness, hilarity, artfulness, all of the things. If you look at Regan's website, it says work hard, stay humble, be kind. She is a sister soul. And I cannot wait for you to dig into this conversation with her. As always with these Creative Common episodes, as I listen back to them, as I edit them, as I go through all of the social assets and the content, I am just humbled af by the quality of beautiful humans and connections out in the world doing creative things to make this world a better, happier, kinder place. And also, let's be real, these folks are making advertising and marketing a whole lot more exciting in a world where there's a lot of beige going on. Regan brings a whole palette of color. I adore her, her brain, and her heart, and I can't wait for you to hear more about her story. Kindness Warriors, let's go. The only way to live life is by the seat of your pants.
It's true. It's true.
All right, Regan, since we're going to go, we're going to fly by the seat of our pants. Can you please introduce yourself, actually, where you're from, who you are? Like existentially, you can go existential if you want.
All right.
And maybe a little bit about like how you ended up like physically where you are right now.
All right. Well, hey there. Happy Good Friday. I'm Regan Warner. I'm the ECD of McCann London. I'm a mom. I'm a wife. I'm a yogi. I'm a creative. I'm a cat lover and a mad skill baker. Those are my slashes. I am so obviously American, but I live in London. I've been here 16 years, and unlike Madonna, my Midwest accent has stayed, but also my Midwest attitude. So, you know, I am sunshine and rainbows in that I always have a positive outlook, because I feel like it's a way to just overcome negativity and get further faster. My call sign is how can I help? Because we are in an industry that is plagued with us working harder and faster. And I feel like if we don't band together, we won't move further faster, and we'll just kind of deconstruct. So starting off in little old America, in Detroit, Michigan, I was actually lucky enough to be part of the techno scene, which was amazing. Dirty Parties in the Packard plant, which...
Are you serious? Oh my God, I love you so much more. Like, I love you, but wow.
Yeah, I'm lucky enough to have my brother-in-law who started Minus with Richie Houghton. So techno has kind of been part of our life for quite some time. And once I grew up ever so slightly, just, you know, went into advertising. That was kind of a pretty easy transition from, I always wanted to do it. I mean, literally always since 12 years old. But I've told that story too many times. So we're going to move past that. started working in advertising, got like just really good opportunities really fast. And I'm a hustler and I just kind of jumped on all those opportunities. And it made me grow up real fast in the land of advertising. Mm-hmm. And then figured out that that pond of Detroit was a little bit too small. So my husband and I decided to move to New York. I didn't have a job. He had a job that kind of went back and forth. So we were lucky in that aspect. And then ended up working at McCann, New York. Joyce King Thomas was the CCO at the time. So, I mean, couldn't have a better teacher. Oh my God, it was so scary going into her office. They would line us up on this little bench and we'd sit there like with our papers as we're about to present. And I mean, she's the most beautiful human being that ever existed. But, you know, obviously we all build her up. She's the woman who came up with Priceless from MasterCard. So she has this awe or about her of like greatness, but, I mean, we still talk to this day because she is a wonderful human being. So got a bunch of education there. Again, a lot of great teachers, people that I still talk to because I think this industry is really kind of incestuous and small. But if you meet the right people and you make those connections, they will be with you for your whole career. And the people that, you know, were kind of my CDs at that time are now CCOs. And so like you all kind of grow up together. And if you have that community of support, it makes this job just freaking awesome. So I highly recommend to anyone who's listening, make sure you find your people and nurture those relationships, because those relationships will last 25 years. And I'm still young, but like they last and you keep learning from the same people in a great way, because they evolve as you're evolving. But then, you know, we thought recession, 2008, why don't we go to London? That seems like a great idea because, you know, you need challenges. My husband is kind of a catalyst, by the way. He's also a creative to take us places and to kind of put us in uncomfortable positions. And if anyone who knows my husband, Chad Warner, they know that's exactly right. But he forces us to do the uncomfortable things, which end up being the awesome things. And so moving to London, his job took us there. Again, no job, and kind of struggled for a few months, which I know is me being kind of a baby going, oh, I didn't have a job for a couple of months, but I had been hustling for like 15 years at that point. So that was hard for me. But then found a job at an agency called Front Room, which focused on gaming and youth advertising. And I never worked in a small agency before. So went there, learned a bunch of stuff, owned by two women, Jackie and Lau, who rocked. It was a great place to learn. I got my gaming skill up. And then McCann came and knocking again. And they're like, why don't you come and work on L'Oreal? And I'm like, I'm not a beauty creative. And I now dismiss that term of beauty creative because anybody can learn and grow in the land of beauty. And I came with a different perspective and kind of changed the way we talked about beauty. And luckily, again, I had people there, Rob DeBall, Lolly Thompson, Rob Brown, who like just said, go forth and do. And we changed how L'Oreal did advertising. And we just kind of shook up the beauty boat. But then Ogilvy came a knocking. And you know, you got to try new things. So went there to see what another huge network looked like. Loved Ogilvy. There's so many good people. That's what it is. This industry is full of so many wonderful people. Liz Taylor she's like my modern version of Joyce King Thomas. Like I fangirl her like every moment of every day. And she kind of, again, saw what I can do and just like constant support and just constantly hitting that like imposter syndrome off me and going like, you got this, just go forth. But then when you have Rob DeBall and Lolly Thompson from McCann London going, hey lady, what you doing? You want to come back? I became a boomerang. And now this is my third time back at McCann London. Now as ECD, which I didn't think I could do. I didn't think I was ready. I don't know how freaking long I needed to be a creative director, but I just needed someone to kind of believe that it was my time And then it, for some reason, made me believe that it was my time. And now I've been there a year, just over a year, bringing, kind of leading in a different way, leading with compassion, making sure that my people are like in the nest, and I'm the mama bird protecting them. Mm-hmm. And, you know, as creatives, we get pushed and pushed and pushed and pushed, and kind of being that cheerleader for them, but also kind of that person that's protecting them from all the requests that come in every single moment of every single day, because, you know, people need things, but a lot of times busy is just busy, and there's right ways to do things. And if you have someone that's protecting, that allows them to be more space for creativity. And that's what we're trying to do, right? We're trying to get the best creative out there. So that, my friend, is a whistle-stop tour of Reagan.
You just said so many things, and my little ADHD brain is like, this, ask all these questions. The first thing I want to ask you is about the importance of, especially in the advertising industry, which can be super, super male-dominated, perspective-wise, leadership-wise. You named so many amazing women as kind of your guiding stars towards the dream, you know, where you are right now and your compassionate leadership. What are some of the main lessons you learned from these women as far as being on the team and becoming the mama bird?
Well, I think it's one of those things, if you don't see someone like yourself in leadership, you don't know that leadership level is possible. I was lucky enough to have this kind of guiding lights, and they taught me that I could do it my way. Whatever that way was, I was still evolving as we go along. I didn't figure out my leadership style until I had been a leader for quite some time. So you kind of, you know, with every single one of them, it's how you learn from them and how you take the things that you love, and then you translate that into what is like a Reaganism as opposed to someone else. And it's about listening. Like really listening and not just talking at people, like letting them have the time to speak and to really understand what they're trying to say. So it's like that listening rather than hearing sort of thing. And like trying to, there was a lot of trust, and that was like an overarching theme that went through my career, is like, they trusted that I could do it. You know, I might've been shitting my pants and going like, I don't know why you're trusting, but you know, sometimes you need someone to like kind of put you out on that plank and go, you got this, just go. And I do, it's a little bit of like an American mentality, is like, you stick me in the deep end, I will swim. Mm-hmm. But they could see that. And that was something that they kind of just instilled with me. And that doesn't work for every creative, by the way. There are some creatives that, you know, need to be nurtured, and they will actually drown. And so you have to, you know, people are messy, and like all humans are messy. And we just need to make sure that we're not putting creatives in one sort of box. There's many wonderful colors and boxes that they are, you know, creating for themselves, and a lot of them are breaking out of their boxes. And just making sure it's not one answer for one type of creative per se. Absolutely.
Oh, because there's no one answer. I think, you know, I always like to say everything's made up. Like everything is made up. Time, the construct of everything that we do, our own like questioning of ourself. I love that you talk about people saying, you got this, I know you can swim. But I think from like a creative standpoint, that nurturing of something that is intangible, because that's what creativity is. How do you nurture the intangible in different kinds of people as a leader?
Well, you know that there's not one answer. So whilst as a creative, you're constantly, man, as soon as I get a brief, I start coming up with ideas. It's like my most favorite part. But it's not my job to answer every brief. So knowing that their answer is different than mine and different is okay, I think that's when, again, that trust is built, where like we might have different answers, and your answer is just as valid as, you know, or answer solution is just as valid as how I would have approached that. And then as soon as they know that they have the right to speak, the right to bring out their ideas, the right to challenge, the right to say, no, this isn't okay, or this is how we need to change it, then all of a sudden they know that they're being heard. And then that's when people thrive. It's like, I don't know. I mean, I was Like I would say, I'm the cheerleader. I think that's that Midwest coming through. But I am the cheerleader of their ideas. And, you know, I support and I push the right idea to go forward to answer the client's problem.
Yes. I think that's one of the most important parts of leadership, especially when you have been in a business like this for 20 years, right? It is to be the cheerleader and it is not to be the one who solves all the problems, because that's not how anybody learns and grows. One thing that you said earlier that I really want to kind of unpack a little bit was the importance of networking horizontally instead of vertically. I know with a lot of the people that I've looked after in my leadership roles, everybody kind of wants to manage up and to make connections with people, quote unquote, above them on the pay scale, where you're right. There's this beautiful part of having a cohort and colleagues that are in it with you that you nurture throughout your career. How did you manage to do that over time? Did you just find the people that felt good on your soul and that you could really create with, or did you have an idea of where you wanted to go and started to surround yourself with the right people in the right rooms?
I'd like to say that I had, I could just see the people and see how they could, they'll bring positivity throughout my whole life and lead me to, all knowing. No.
I mean, same.
I did have a long game though, where I knew that I was going to be in this career for a very long time, because it's awesome. And why wouldn't you want to create ideas for as long as you can? And so, you know, the people who are, you know, on your team, like kind of at the same level with you, you are going to grow up together. And why wouldn't you want to create like your squad, so to speak? And, you know, their troubles are your troubles. You're all on the same page. And who's winning, who's losing? Why are they winning? Why are they losing? Are they getting better briefs, but why? Are they solving it a different way? Does someone know something I don't know? And that's not about comparison. That's just about learning. And I mean, I feel like we did that in school, right? We had all of our peers and we learned from one another. And then somehow when we get adults, we're like, I can handle it all. I don't need to learn from anyone. And I think if you just keep listening and adjusting and learning throughout your career, you'll find that the people that you are like maybe in the hardest part of your career with are the people that you have the strongest bonds with, because, you know, those beginning years, we're still all hustling, by the way, but like,
oh yeah,
hustling at 4 a.m. And you're like, you know, I still just met, just was hanging out with someone that I used to work at in New York. And we were like, the camaraderie that we had like late nights in our office where like no one was around and it was just us. And that is a connection that will stay with you forever. And those people will be with you.
Yeah.
Forever. Like, even if you move out of advertising, you'll still have those people as friends, as peers, as, you know, people you can look to for advice. And I think that's strong and powerful. Like, you know, build a band.
Oh, build a band. I love that. I actually have a TV idea for that. Wait a minute.
There's a lot of them.
Yeah, it is. You know, a symphony, right? It's like, yeah. Yeah. Symphony. It's a symphony of life. I love that kind of viewpoint of it, because everybody has to play their different parts too. And you're right. We move, we change, we come in and come out. And those trauma bonds, those creative bonds probably are the best part of the journey. And I think a lot of younger creatives and a lot of younger people coming up in business question sometimes those late nights. And I'm a big fan of balance, quote unquote, whatever balance looks like for other people. I'm also a big fan of the hustle, but I think there's something in those moments, right? That you're just so present with another person and you're tired and you want to crack this thing, that money just can't buy that. And I feel like for me, those are the parts of my career that have resonated the most and make me love the creative side of any industry. How do you, in your daily life, define creativity? At work, at play, all of those kinds of things.
I mean, anytime I solve a problem, I feel like I'm solving it with creativity. Whether that's, I mean, from even like making my coffee in a different way, I'm like, oh, okay, cool. I didn't think about that before. And that's usually some sort of like TikTok that is like, show me something where I'm like, bam, mind explode. But that's creativity. Like, you know, how I go about you know, organizing the house, the kids, how we bring them up, you know, showing them, making them ingest things. And we are a very visual family, and all of our kids, two kids are very creative, which is funny because they'll probably both be like, not that this is bad, but they'll probably be like accountants or something like that. And totally like, they're like, no, we don't want to be in creative at all. But that kind of like, that creativity never stops. It does help that my husband and I are both creatives, and that every time we see something, we're like, well, that client just threw away a bunch of money because there'll be like 45 words on an outdoor board. And it's like that constant ingesting and like being inspired. And, you know, the amount of screenshots I have and the amount of pictures I take of work, and not just like, not just advertising work, like just creative stuff out there, creative solutions to things, means that you're obsessed. Like it really is amazing. And creativity kind of works in, it's like part of your being, you know, if you're a creative, it's like, you can't help but look at things and go like, how could I solve that and tell a story about that thing that would bring someone along? And it's not that I'm trying to like, you know, sell everything to everyone, but it is part of the thing we do. You know, we are convincing humans out there to either like a brand, or to buy this thing, or to come and join this thing. And, you know, there has to be creativity at the heart of that to make someone feel something, any emotion, so they can remember it. And then they go like, oh yeah, I felt this way, even if it's hate, which I wouldn't recommend that. But I mean, you know, there are things that are like Marmites, so to speak. And it's like, you could, you know, hate it so much that actually you love the advertising on it. And so like, I think it's because you feel something. So
then, I love that you went with Marmite. That resonates with me.
I thought so. I'm a hater. Sorry.
Yeah, same. I was just thinking about it because it is Good Friday, and most years in New Zealand, like my ex-husband used to take his hot cross bun and put Marmite and cheese on it. And I was just always like, oh.
Dude.
But see, so I could get on board with that kind of an advertisement, right? Every wrong way to use Marmite, which is every way. Again, you do you, boo. What if you love it, you love it. I love this because that means you're, when it comes to creativity, and I walk through the world like this too and probably annoy the heck out of the people I'm around. Everything feels like art. The way somebody whistles in a subway, right? The way a billboard pops up and you just go, oh my God. Being back in California for the last 7 months after being in Australasia and APAC for the last 15, 16 years, similar to you, being overseas, coming back here, a lot of the advertising is so very American and bland and beige and like very templated. But then every once in a while, you'll get an out of home where I'm just like, of course I'm that kind of dork that is like, oh, that is perfect. Now I want to go buy a Tecate beer. I've never drunk a Tecate, but now I want to because that out of home was perfect. Right. And you just go, oh, somebody was very clever and just went hot day, cold beer, boom, drink it. Okay. And you just go, ah, what a clever person. Do you find after all of these years in the business, it's hard to get lost in the suspension of disbelief and playfulness of advertising? Because, you know, I do events and speaking and that kind of stuff. And I don't pick it apart per se, but I know how it runs. So it is this thing like sometimes I have to allow myself to just enjoy the artistry of something instead of going, oh, I see what the strategy behind that was. And I wonder what they paid for in their tarps, you know? Can you still enjoy the creativity when you see it in the wild?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think you can, I mean, there are things where you're like, I see your strategy showing. But I have a twin sister. We walk the same, we talk the same, but we're totally different. And when she shares like a piece of content with me, that is advertising, but it's, you know, wrapped up in a piece of content. I'm like, yeah, you won because like, she's a quote unquote person who's outside of the realm of advertising. And like, it's speaking to her so much that she's sharing it on her social channels and pushing it, which then makes me see it. And I'm like, that's where I'm like, there's power in the storytelling that we're doing. So like, I'm just constantly in awe that there is still new ideas out there. And it makes me so happy and like just full of energy to create new things and in new ways. And I mean, it does help that we keep getting new platforms, which allow us to like kind of push our storytelling in different places. It's endless because you would think that all the ideas are done by now. They're not. And that's exciting.
Yeah. I find, and again, I think I'm like you, just this infinite optimist for the most part. There's something about when I go online and everybody's kind of a little bit downtrodden and talks about how social media can be a negative experience, and it can, but there are times when I just, you know, shake my head every day and go like, people are clever. Even if they're not in the industry, I find that some of the best work comes from people being inspired by what's out there in the wild. What kind of things inspire you? What kind of things kind of do you get lost in that aren't quote unquote work related?
Creators. Like, I love that there is a new era of creative people who have nothing to do with the advertising industry, and they are just killing it with their storytelling. But they're seeing it in a way, they don't have a brief, or they don't have client, you know, parameters and, you know, restrictions and stuff like that. And it's like pure storytelling. But then you can see some of them who are, they are getting translated and kind of put into a little bit of an advertising space, but they're still coming at it from more of a pure storytelling space, as opposed to like they have restrictions. And I love, I mean, and by the way, I can take this down to like the simplest terms of like hacks in your house. That's creativity in its like purest form. And there are people that are solving shit that you're like, oh my God, how did I not know that? I am 40. How old am I? 48 years old. And like, so that to me, like social, like I'm a huge social fan. I created a whole community of people who were interested in yoga. I have friends all over the world. And we had one bond that was yoga that brought us together. And I, you know, in the beginning of Instagram, became influencers, and it was social for good. I mean, I have a WhatsApp that has 30 people, and literally it's always going off because they're from people, I mean, literally all over the world. So there is no time. So you have to constantly mute it because you're like, all right, guys, like but I just love that like I found people that were interested in what I was interested in, but we came from different places and different spaces, and we shared that love of one thing, and then we all kind of grew from that. So I do think that whilst there are aspects of social that can go really wrong, and you know, I have a young daughter, and I'm very aware of the ramifications, the negativity that can happen in social, and so I'm just kind of hyper vigilant about what she watches and where she is, who she's talking to. But I do know that social can be for good. And I, again, that ever optimist, I'm believing that
this
pulls us together.
Yeah. I mean, as you were talking and talking about like the home hacks, I was thinking about, I don't know if you've seen this one where you can use a fork to hang a picture on a wall.
Yes.
Right? Yes. How did I not know that for 4 decades? So helpful. But even like, have you seen the woman who says, everybody's so creative? And then she just takes the piss out of the worst recipes on the planet.
Yeah.
She is my entire like TikTok algorithm. I am definitely the graying of TikTok right in there. It's every bad recipe. But I'm with you on the social for good. It also still is a fascinating thing to me. So I started social media back when social was for social, right? That's being an expat in New Zealand was how I actually grew my career and friendship groups and everything outside of rugby sidelines on Saturday mornings. But I find that with social, there's just this beautiful intersection of community with the creator economy and all of the talk that's going on in and around how we pay creators, how we give specifically like female, queer, Black creators of, you know, different diverse backgrounds, not only that they're due, but their cash. How do we pay people? I find it's a really interesting space to play in. And I think it's ubiquitous now. I think things are starting to change. I know when I was client side in my last role, I used to really challenge our main creative agencies and the ECDs to say, I want you to come back with something that's not a 60-second TV ad, which was really saying, show me the entire breadth of everything. Start with social. And the creativity that came out when you gave people this open slather of start with social was just magic.
Honestly, we were walking around with this thing. Like, just look at people. They're like, they are glued to this thing. This is where we should be telling our stories. And we should make sure that our stories are appropriate on the appropriate platforms and not trying to just one size fits all from a master asset. I do think that is one of the evolutions I've been making at McCann is to widen our storyteller and extend our storyline. So it's not just a one hit wonder with a 60-second spot. And I'd say like 90% of my creatives are like gangbusters. They're like, all right, cool. Like now I just get more spaces and places to tell these stories and different ways to do it. And that's always exciting. Like if you have creators always want to make things, right? And now I just have different shape making of things that I get to do. And there's a couple people that are, we'll say traditional, but even they can be swayed when they see something that maybe has like, maybe the main asset is a traditional, like let's say 30-second spot, but then all the other things that have come around it that kind of like work with the campaign, not just a 360 where we're just translating on different medias, but like, you know, the storyline is actually extended from like, you know, we have McCann Content Studios coming in and like, you know, saying like, well, if you started it here, maybe we could get the buzz going and like actually get it in culture rather than saying like, oh, we're one hit and it's in culture. Not so. So I think like you can even take kind of the traditionalist and kind of bring them on the journey. And then when they see success, they're like, I see you.
Yeah.
I see you.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's like you said earlier, it's tickling that emotional part of a consumer, right? It's tickling that part of a human being who is busy. Again, when you watch people with that little glass and silicone lollipop in their pocket all day, everybody's busy. And most of the time we don't want to be sold to, but we love to buy. That's one thing that I have found here in America that has just been superb is the the ability for Instagram and TikTok advertising to suck me in. For somebody who took a house in 20 years and put it into 6 boxes, pretty much replaced everything because Instagram targeting has been superb with everything from clothes to books. So it's very smart to come at things from an omni-channel and an omni-storyline approach.
I mean, I accidentally buy stuff all the time. When I say accidentally, I mean, I've hit the button, but it's so easy. But like, so many micro brands, I mean, there are people creating amazing things. And you like, now I'm an advocate and a maverick for these brands because I'm like, their product is good. And, you know, they need to be, more people need to know about them. But you can also reinvent kind of an older, like big colossal brand and make them relevant for a new audience. Or just kind of, you know, talk to your old audience in a new way. And all of a sudden they see you in a different light. And I know I'm a brand loyalist. Like once I'm in, very much, I have a hard time being swayed onto something else. And that's not just because I'm in advertising. It's because when someone makes something or does something that's good and I appreciate it, I'm in. I was a fan of Method from the first moment it came out. And I still buy Method. And when they still bring me in with new things that they, you know, come up with. And I'm like, all right, cool. Yeah. I will go on that journey. You know, does this work? Does it not? And some things fall off and some, but it's like, it's underwritten, like brand loyalist to the end.
Absolutely. I mean, you see people walking around with Nike swoosh tattoos, like to put something under your skin just shows you the power of self-belief and empowerment that a brand can give to people. When it comes to the things that do pull you in, are there through threads? Are there things with the intentionality for these small brands that capture your mind? Or is it just something a little bit different where you go, that's really cool. Bye.
I'm a little bit of a design always gets me every time.
A design magpie. I feel you.
I am a design magpie. I mean, if it's done well, I will take the time to stop the scroll. So, I mean, I can get pulled in pretty easily when I'm like, ooh, damn, that's tight. And then you go in and you're like, what is this? And then you get chased and followed, you know, because they get the algorithm. And then again, if it's done in the right way, I'm like, because I also sometimes need time to consider. Yes, I accidentally buy on Instagram, but like it's usually because I've seen it several times, because I'm just not a quick hitter when it comes to buying things. I'm a minimalist at heart, and I don't feel like I need things to justify like happiness or wealth. So it has to be something where I'm like, you know, the algorithm told me I was looking at said thing. And now it's shooting me with like brands that it probably knows I'm going to like, because it knows I like design. I just kind of go, you got me. And obviously I'm easy to read. I also like little brands. Yeah. And if they're started by women, it's even better, but I'm not just a segregist where I will only do that. But I can't imagine that that's also, maybe it is part of the algorithm too. And that they're like, we're just going to feed her like, you know, brands that were started by women founders, perhaps. But I'm also a sucker for the story. How did it work? I bought an eyeliner one time. Let's go deep into beauty for a second. There was this post of this woman who had gotten to an accident, a horrible accident. She was in the emergency room for like 12 hours. And she posted a picture of herself. And she's like, my makeup is falling down my face, but this friggin' Kat Von D eyeliner is still on. Oh my God. I immediately bought that eyeliner 10 years later, still using that eyeliner. So like that consumer story brought me in, and that wasn't the brand asking her to do that. That was her having like being a maverick for that brand going, this stuff is amazing. I've had a horrible day, yet this is still here. So I like, again, the power of storytelling, like it'll get me and rope me in, and I'm okay with that.
I'm okay with that too. I think story is everything. It's how we view ourselves, the world around us, the things we buy, why we do what we do. I love it. And I, you know, even when we talk about things non-work related, or as a leader, you'd have to be very cognizant, aware of, you know, mental health and the nurturing of your people as well. It is important to be able to reframe sometimes life and eyeliner, and to be able to see ourselves in those moments. When it comes to, you said you're not a person who covets things. I'm very similar. I like what I like and buy a few of them, and very intentionally. What does success look like for you? How do you define success on your terms, and legacy? What's the kind of legacy you want to leave?
Well, success on when it comes to my family is just being able to support, be there. I mean, it's basics, right? Like make sure we have a house, make sure they're well-fed, they're nurtured. I can put them, I mean, let's make clear, kids are expensive, like activities and stuff like that. That all adds up. And I feel like that's success. I'd rather spend money there than, you know, buying designer clothes. By the way, anyone who does like is a fashionista, like go for it. That's your jam. Yep. It's just, I have somehow missed that gene, and I'm okay with
it. It's the Midwesterner in us. It's the Midwesterner in us.
But like when it comes to legacy, I'm going to talk, I guess there's a couple of spaces. Obviously, you know, I know that my kids look at me and they go, A, she loves her job, but she's also helping like the next generation. She's leading. I do a ton of mentoring. I'm giving back. I spend a lot of time with a lot of other people that are not part of my work world, to kind of support them, whether that's young creatives coming in or people who maybe want to be moms and they're like, how did you do it? To people who have had kids and they're like, they took that time off and how do they get back in? Like, and to me that, I don't want to say I'm doing it for legacy because I'm not, but I do hope that, you know, I helped them at a certain period of their life, which then in turn, I hope that they will help someone else. And it just becomes kind of this kindness wave that continues for as long as possible. When it comes to the advertising, like my day-to-day job, I do hope that people know that creativity was extremely important, but allowing people to grow and protect them was even more important. And those we got better creative out of it. The people became more creative, and that all kind of, our clients got better success from us because there was a place of protection and a place of nurturing that happened.
Oh, I love that. I love that. Are you ready for a little quick fire round of questions?
Sure. Let's do it.
Oh, perfect. All right. What is one thing you can't live without?
Black shirts.
Same. I think I have 20 of them just over there.
I would also say like nylon dye to make sure my black shirts stay black.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That is, they have to be crisp, right? A crisp white and a crisp black. I'm a little bit of both. What's one thing that's yet or left on your bucket list that you really want to do?
BCCO.
Hey, okay. I can see that. Morning or night?
Morning, crack of dawn. I do yoga at like 7. Oh, no, what? 7? What am I talking about? Do yoga at 6.
Hey, I'm a crack of dawn. There you go. Sweet or savory?
Sweet.
I hear you've been baking this morning.
Yes, my husband's birthday was last week, but I was away. So I am doing his cake today, which is a peanut butter Oreo cheesecake. So I started it this morning because it needs like 8 hours to set. And I will send you a picture of it. It should be destructive.
I was going to say, I will just get on a plane for something like that. Yum. Last question. It's a little bit of a twist on an old goodie. Instead of what would you say to your 14-year-old self? What would 14-year-old you have to say to you now?
Looks like you made it.
Okay, Shania. Let's go, girls.
I'm tone deaf. Totally tone deaf.
I knew what you were singing. It's fine.
Everyone out there. I do think I had an ambition really young. Like I knew I wanted to do advertising in 12. And I've continued to plow that path. And like, for instance, when I was leaving high school, they say like, what are you going to be in 10 years? I said, I'm going to be in New York working at an advertising agency. I was in New York working at an advertising agency 10 years after. I've been making life goals since I was a wee lass. And I will continue to make goals and push up and see how far I can get. And by the way, it doesn't mean that if I don't reach those goals, it's not success for me, because actually the pathway there is where I find a lot of success. It's not the end destination.
That's right. That's right. I mean, it sounds cliche, right? But the journey is all we've got. It is the vulnerability of it, the playfulness of it, the optimism of it. And it sounds like you are the right person to help others on their journey too. Is there one thing you'd like to say to young creatives who could be listening to this right now, who maybe don't have that laser focus or that North Star, but who want to get into creative industries?
I'd say keep trying. I feel like it's difficult if you haven't taken the normal path and gone to ad school and then like, or know someone. It is a challenge. But know that the harder things are, the better the reward. But it is like, if you take a different way to get in, you most likely are someone that someone saw a light in you, and they will be your champion and want to make sure that you have success. So don't stop trying. But there is something with this new generation. They are pushy, like in a good way. And I'm like, you go. But then like, I just feel like sometimes you gotta like know when to say when. And so like, be confident, you know, keep trying, but then also be cognizant of the people that you're trying to get in with, that they have lives, they have jobs, and that no one's avoiding you for any other reason other than they're busy.
Yes.
And it's kind of understanding both sides that I think you'll go a really long way really fast because you're paying attention to people rather than just your goals and your ambition.
I think that's the through thread of everything you just said today is see people, hear people, kind of chill the F out and enjoy the people around you and build those connections so that you can build one hell of a big creative life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't want to die having lived a perfect life. Perfect is the last thing I want to be.
The Kindness Warriors podcast is hosted, produced, recorded, edited, and brought to you by me, Cassie Roma. And what a pleasure it is to bring all of these beautiful stories into the world. As always, thank you for your time, for your polite and kind and engaged feedback, and for simply being a part of the Kindness Warriors community. I appreciate you.
I want to just sip every whiskey, take one too many shots, pass on the pricey with the money I got. All the things that I ain't conquered yet, I want to live a life I regret. Try to stop and breathe, take a look at what I'd see. I was spinning my wheels as the world kept spinning round. Just taking it day by day, getting by and away. Never making that leap with both feet on the ground. I want to get married in Vegas to a stranger on the strip, skinny dip in the ocean. Look, I don't give a rip. Smoke something stronger than a marble cigarette. Oh, I want to just sip every whiskey, take one too many shots, pass on the pricey with the money I ain't got. All the things that I ain't conquered yet, I want to live a life I regret. Just taste fiery whiskey and maybe